Lynx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast to my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, the 4th of August. I'm Christian Jones, and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, questions are being asked about the fairness of Manx Telecom's fibre rollout after some homeowners have been told they have to pay to get their homes connected. Meanwhile, new figures show there's been a significant rise in the number of personal data breaches reported so far this year, and women's football is expanding with hopes of boosting its popularity. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a line if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177. Email to studio at manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's head on over to Chanel Suku, who has the latest news headlines. Fast to my, Chanel.
Fast to my. There's been a sharp rise in personal data breach reports on the Isle of Man, with 61 incidents lodged between April and June. The Information Commissioner says over 800 people were affected, though that figure may rise. The fairness of the fibre rollout scheme has been questioned after some owners have been told that they have to pay to get their homes connected.
There is no option at all to keep your copper and to carry on as things are.
Manx Telecom says in some cases the infrastructure belongs to the property owners and they are therefore responsible for the work needed. And forecasters at Ronald's Way Met Office have dropped a yellow weather warning over the island. It was in place for gale force winds until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning for Storm Floris, but has since been removed. Meanwhile, passengers expecting to sail this evening will only find out about their journey in the next half hour. In international news, tens of thousands of homes and businesses are without power as Storm Floris batters the UK. Flights have been cancelled, trains disrupted, and camper vans blown over as gusts reach speeds of more than 100 miles per hour. The UK government is promising a further £100 million to help tackle the people smuggling gangs. More than 25,000 people have crossed the channel illegally so far this year. And England's cricketers were denied a historic victory as India clinched a dramatic 6-run win in the final test at the Oval. Chasing just 35 runs on the final day, the host lost 4 wickets in an hour. Those are your headlines. News at 6.
Good morning. Thank you very much for that, Chanel. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Largely dry this evening with sunny spells, then a risk of the odd shower this evening and overnight. Strong westerly winds will be gusty at times with minimum temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. Well, as we heard in the news, there was a yellow weather warning in place. It was due to stay in effect until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, but it's now been lifted. David Britton is a forecaster at the Ronald's Way Met Office. He joins me now. David, thanks for taking a moment to speak with us. Well, I suppose the first question is, what led to the decision to lift the yellow weather warning early?
Yep, vast by, and hello. The warning was first put in place anyway for gales. Usually it would take a severe gale to warrant a yellow warning, but given that it's perhaps a little bit unexpected for us to receive such strong winds in August, and also with trees being in full bloom at the moment and a lot of outdoor garden furniture with it being summer, that was all taken into account, and that was why we decided it was worth putting this warning into effect. It has since been cancelled a bit early, as mentioned, and that's because we've seen the worst of the winds now. We kind of saw the peak of the winds earlier this morning, so we'll be just continuing with a strong wind, which is a 4-6 now.
And a named storm in August. I mean, obviously, we see particularly poor weather throughout the winter. Having yellow warnings almost every week is not uncommon. But is it strange to see these sorts of warnings and storms at this time of the year?
So by comparison, it would seem it, because as you said, in autumn and winter we do get a higher amount of storms compared to summer, but they aren't completely uncommon. In fact, last year in August we had Storm Lillian late August, and that brought us a gale force wind to the Isle of Man, and there was a warning out for that last year.
Well, I can hear your phone in the background. I'll leave it there. Thanks very much. That was David Britton, a forecaster at the Ronald's Way Met Office.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing.
Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys. Your fast, reliable locksmiths 24-7. Homes, cars and bikes. Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
At Pagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cattery on Facebook.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
6 minutes past five, the Isle of Man's internet network is currently being upgraded from copper to fibre. It's a massive project that's taking years to complete and costing millions of pounds, but a debate started about who should pay for certain aspects of it. Amy Griffiths has been finding out more.
By 2029, the copper network that's currently installed on the island is being turned off. That means everyone wanting to use the internet will have to have switched to the fibre network or a satellite provider by then. And it's not an easy feat for Manx Telecom, which is carrying out the work. But questions have been raised after some homes have been told they might have to pay to have the necessary infrastructure installed. Clarissa lives in Onchan and has been explaining her situation.
We received this slip through the post warning us that you have to take action and that you have to upgrade your infrastructure and the infrastructure which is owned by Manx Telecom, which is going to your property, in order to upgrade to the fibre. But then on the slip it was telling us that the fibre is mandatory and the copper will be switched off. So there is no option at all to keep your copper and to carry on as things are. You have to go to fibre, which is a more expensive package, okay, but you also have to pay due to the age of the property, the type of the copper wire, and something technical. You have to pay for them to come and do maintenance on it and replace it. So they said that you can do it yourself and they will provide you with the kit and you can, you know, do a bit of a DIY job, taking it from the roadside or wherever the terminal is inside your property, or you can ask them to do it, which would be a cost of £12.50 a month for 24 months. So £300 on top of your usual very expensive package, which is also increasing anyway. Or you could hire somebody external to come and do it. But the fact that some people on the island have to then pay for this or do it themselves, whereas some people don't.
As Clarissa has said, not everyone will be able to have the fibre network installed for free. But Manx Telecom's Chief Technical Officer Hugo Van Zyl and CEO Gary Lamb say it's all to do with how old your home is, where it was built and how.
Because of the fact that the duct only goes to the wall, for example, of the premises, there's not ducting from that wall or from the curtilage to the house. And that actually then requires the customer to make provision for that. And we can think about that somewhat similar to a water deployment where the water pipes that goes to the house is on the owner's property and their responsibility. And in the same way, you can think about that as the ducting from the curtilage to the home. We need some kind of a ducting to get to the house that we can then push the fibre through and make that final connection.
Amy Griffiths with that report, and you can hear it in full and find a statement from Cura, which is the communications regulator, over at manxradio.com. From April to June, the number of full-time employees decreased by 32 from 7,842 to 7,810. That's in the public sector workforce. The figures published by the Operational Performance Board show the first reduction across the public service since June 2023. However, employment in frontline jobs like Manx Care and the Isle of Man Constabulary increased. The chair of the Public Services Commission, Rob Callister, says the decrease within government's workforce is a positive move and provides transparency to Isle of Man residents.
We have to reduce the overall number of people that works within the Manx government. And one of the other things the latest report is showing us, that we've actually reduced the number of vacancies in this latest report by 438 vacancies or full-time equivalents in the last quarter. So it really is one, just really fully evaluating every single vacancy. We've gone through a cleansing process to make those vacancies are absolutely, you know, right, and they're just not repeating. Some of them have been well over a year advertised. So we've had to a full cleansing. We've reviewed all them. And now what we're looking at is going through this recruitment control framework to make sure we get the skills, make sure we get the professional civil servants that we need.
Any idea what's that number that we require in terms of government staff?
Well, we know at the moment at the end, towards the end of June, the figure was 7,810. But we have a number of vacancies and those vacancies fluctuate. At some point, we do need to be honest with the Manx public about saying this is the number of staff that we need to run all of the services that people expect on the island. But then at that point, using new technologies that's coming through to see if we can actually reduce the workforce on the Isle of Man in the future.
Rob Callister, the chair of the Public Services Commission, speaking to Chanel Suku there.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
11 minutes past five. Ketamine is becoming a problem on the Isle of Man, and a reclassification of the drug could lead to a need for an increase in the island's prison capacity, a court has heard. Deemster Graham Cook raised concerns about an increase in offences involving the powerful tranquilizer while sentencing a 24-year-old man. Reporting now is Sean Cowper.
Alexander Kinraid was caught with thousands of pounds worth of ketamine stashed in a black bin bag between two fence posts in his back garden, BBC Isle of Man reports. Deemster Cook said he should thank his lucky stars ketamine was still a Class B drug, as he would have been facing several years in prison had it been reclassified. The Deemster made the comments amid a review in England of the drug's classification, which could see it become a Class A, something he said the island would likely follow. Douglas Courthouse heard police had searched Kinraid's home on Keppel Road in Douglas and found two wraps of cannabis and some cash in his jacket pockets. A further £1,940 was found in his bedroom, while a search of the garden using sniffer dogs uncovered drug paraphernalia in the shed and the black bin bag containing the two drugs hidden in the fence. Prosecutors told the court there were four separate wraps in it, with the largest being ketamine, with a street value of £5,572. Messages on the 24-year-old's phone showed evidence of dealing both drugs between September and December. Kinraid was on probation for previous offences at the time. He pleaded guilty to one charge, each of being in possession of cannabis and ketamine with intent to supply, and being concerned in the supply of both drugs. The 24-year-old was sentenced to 2 years in prison, suspended for 2 years, along with a supervision order covering the same period. Deemster Cook said lots of people look to make easy money selling drugs, but many lose their liberty by doing so, and ketamine was becoming a problem on the island. At the conclusion of the hearing, both the defence and prosecution advocates pointed out that a reclassification of the drug could see a need for more capacity at the Isle of Man prison if the rise in ketamine offences continues.
A Peel family is trying to raise money to get life-saving treatment for their French bulldog pup. Belle was rescued by Danielle Sloan and her family last week from the UK, but almost immediately they noticed she was having difficulty breathing, a common issue with this type of dog and other flat-faced breeds. After a visit to the vet, they were informed that Belle's larynx will collapse and that she needs surgery.
This is my daily sound. This is the dogs playing. The noisy one you can hear is our bell. The owner basically thought her breathing was normal. As time's gone by, it's just gotten worse. She spent 12 hours in our care, and I thought, something not quite right here. You know, she's really struggling to breathe. She's vomiting after every feed. She stops breathing sometimes. You can see her belly and her chest trying to breathe, but if she's like in a certain position, there's literally no air getting in and she has to gasp and move. Her nostrils are almost closed, so she can't have the normal close her mouth and just breathe through her nose. She walks around constantly with things in her mouth to keep her mouth open. I think it's just it helps her breathe, I think. But the vet did say, you know, she's at that stage where she is very, very collapsed in there. Luckily, she's not got the wheeze yet, which is to do with the larynx. If that stays like that, the larynx can collapse. So we've put the £3,000 mark down, and whatever is left over, we would be sending straight to Animals in Distress to help all the other foster dogs and rescues that, you know, need the operations as well. Just to be able to see her play without having to stop and choke and be sick and just struggle. Something so simple as a breath. We've got to get this girl fixed.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a few things to be aware of. We'll start on the roads. In Douglas, the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so temporary lights are currently replacing the main lights and all filter lanes are out of operation. Also in Douglas, there's temporary lights on Woodbourne Road, 24 hours a day at the Albany Road Junction for bus stop improvement works, and a section of Brunswick Road is closed for gas repairs. Over in Ramsey, temporary lights on Bowring Road near between Windsor Road and the Coburg Road. And also something to be aware of is the swing bridge is currently closed to traffic. Let's take a look at the steam packet. The 7:45 Manxman trip to Heysham has been cancelled. Naturally, that means the overnight sailing will also not go ahead. However, as far as we can see, the 8:30 Mananan is still scheduled to go ahead. Tomorrow, though, there's potential disruption to the 8:30 Manxman could be cancelled, but a final decision not expected until 6:30 tomorrow morning. So a few things to keep your eyes peeled for if you are expecting to be heading off on the boat. We'll take a look at the airport now. And on the arrivals board, the 7:25 Loganair from Edinburgh running 1 hour late, and naturally that means the departure, which was scheduled for 7:55, now not expected on the runway until almost 9 o'clock.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past 5, and there's been a significant rise in the number of personal data breaches reported on the Isle of Man during the first quarter of this financial year. Darren Timpson's been looking over the figures. He joins me now. Fast to my Darren. What does the latest data show?
Well, between April and June, the Information Commissioner received 61 personal data breach reports. That's almost double the 35 reported during the same period last year. More than 800 people were affected, although that number could still rise as several cases remain under investigation. The breaches range from emotional distress and reputational damage to more serious issues like identity theft and fraud.
And do we know why the numbers have gone up so sharply?
Well, the ICO believes it could be linked to increased awareness following recent outreach work. There were targeted training sessions delivered to public sector organisations in March, and that's where 70% of the breaches came from. A similar session was held for the private sector in July, so we might see an impact there in the next set of figures.
And what about the seriousness of the breaches?
28% were classified as high risk, which means under data protection law, the people affected must be notified without delay. But only 77% of organisations met the requirement to report the breach within 72 hours of becoming aware of it. Most of the breaches involve failures to keep personal data secure, what's known as an infringement of Article 5, Paragraph 1F of GDPR legislation.
Very technical. So what's being done to improve things then?
In April, a new online breach reporting portal was launched to streamline the process. The commissioner says it's still finding its feet, but they're welcoming feedback to help improve the system. Over the past 3 years, the numbers have fluctuated, 55 in 2022, rising to 90 the year after, and then falling to 35. So this latest figure of 61 could indicate a renewed push for transparency and compliance from island organisations.
Darren Timpson with the latest there. Thanks for joining us.
Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
The Department of Infrastructure says improving the track at the Scarlet Nature Discovery Centre would cost nearly £60,000. It's also raised concerns about its ability to carry out the work safely in response to a Timwell written question, as Amy Griffiths reports.
The minister says due to the current condition of the track and lack of bound surfacing material, it wouldn't be suitable to simply fill in the potholes. The lane would need to be regulated with either road planings or recycled aggregate at an estimated cost of £12,000. Michelle Hayward adds the resurfacing of the track for an area that size should be machine-laid. However, it's not wide enough for the machines or haulage vehicles available, and there's a significant safety risk because of the drop on the seaward side. While a mini-paver could be considered, there would still be a number of safety concerns, including the proximity to the sea wall. There would also still be an issue supplying the hopper, as the track isn't suitable for wagons. Therefore, the material would need to be hand-laid in two layers at an estimated cost of £58,000. Dr. Hayward adds, surfacing the track with asphalt would not be in keeping with the rural nature of the track and its surrounding environment, and would not be recommended by the department.
Amy Griffiths with that report. Now, Radon Commissioners is looking for feedback on its proposal to have camping on the greenfield at the Roundhouse during the TT fortnight. Centre Manager Cassie McAllister says it's their quietest time of the year and they're looking at making it a family-friendly campsite.
So the idea we have is in two parts regarding the provision of TT accommodation. So the first part has been a response to the issues reported island-wide regarding motorhomes during TT this year. We have a car park that is near empty for the period, so we may decide to sell permits for the period. There is scope for half a dozen over the far side of the village green near the wooded area. So we're currently testing that with a planning application regarding change of use. So we're yet to hear from them on that really. The second part we are examining is that we offer camping opportunities in tents on the green. The board are speaking to neighbouring sites and will also look at demand during the process to make sure we get it right. But the idea is that we will be aiming our marketing at the family crowd. And so if you have visited the centre, you will understand why. The facilities here are excellent and are aimed towards families and well-being. If you haven't been, Sunday is a great opportunity to visit for Community Day. So there are lots of free activities on, something for everyone, and there's tons for children as well. Whilst here, you can speak to the Roundhouse team and they'll add your comments to the log regarding any feedback and ideas for the TT camping. People can phone in to log their comments by calling the duty staff phone anytime. That's manned the same as our opening hours, or people can email in. Or there's a face-to-face feedback session next Thursday, the 7th at 6 p.m. So people can turn up and ask questions face-to-face.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper speaking with the Roundhouse Centre Manager Cassie McAllister. Sport on the way next.
Hello, this is Andy Wint, Infrastructure Minister and Russian MHK Michelle Haywood's next on Man in Line. The DOI's in charge of vital aspects of island life. Bus Bannon, the airport, the harbours, including the Liverpool landing stage, the railways, trams and those horse tram tracks, the risk of flood, maintenance of highways and the proposed 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. Talk to Minister for Infrastructure, Michelle Haywood MHK, on Man in Line tomorrow at midday on smart devices, on air, online, on Manx Radio.
Thanks very much, Andy. Well, let's turn our attention to sport now. The Isle of Man Football Association has confirmed the Canada Life Women's League will expand to 7 teams for the 2025-26 season. Acknowledging that this could be a positive boost for the women's game locally, FA President Tony Meppam explains some of the other changes coming for the female competitions.
Through the hard work over the last sort of year, but certainly this year, Jamie Lee Ferns has confirmed that two extra clubs have actually come into the senior women's setup, which is brilliant. They've been in it before, that's Union Mills, and you can't sort of forget Russian as well, because they had a really strong team. So all the hard work by the two clubs, Russian and Union Mills, has come to fruition. We've sort of penned the dates for the fixtures, which now Jamie Lee's happy with them. The Floodlit Cup that we had last year that we experimented with, 11-a-side if you remember, for Corinthians Peel, and the rest played 7-a-side. We're going back to 11-a-side for the 7 teams. So a lot of football for them. The season doesn't finish until mid-May, but it's great to see two new teams coming in.
Two new teams coming in, so that means more matches, more in the competition, something that we've debated heavily at times over the last couple of years in which directions it's going. But in your opinion, how positive a step is this to have two more teams coming into the system?
It's superb, because when when you look at the junior teams, there's an awful lot of young players coming through. What we need to do is to be able to retain them when they sort of reach that 16, 18 year old bracket. Now, we know there's a little bit of a drop off from the sort of when the 15, 16s, because there's no actual sort of girls football for 15, 16 year old players. But once they're 16, they can play senior football. There's nothing we can do about that. We can't change it at the FA. It's a rule by the English setup, and we have to abide by it. But there's still opportunities for them to play mixed football, and there's some real quality players, some of those young players that have come through, Pippa Wallace being one of them, Rosabelle Cardi, Millie Dawson, three. You know, they're like 16, 17 years of age, and to play like they do just is credit to their club's coaching and credit to the coaching at the academy, and a credit to themselves for just really having a go, and sort of now they can step into senior football and improve even more.
Isle of Man Football Association President Tony Meppam speaking to Rob Pritchard there. Well, let's stay with sport and we'll say hello to sports editor Rob Pritchard in person.
First to my Christian, first off tonight, Isle of Man cyclist Cameron Hounsell has claimed a second medal at this year's National Youth and Junior Track Championships. The Team RL 360 Isle of Man competitor claimed bronze alongside Jake Bird and Elijah Storty in the Open Youth Team Sprint at the National Cycling Centre in Manchester on the 1st of August. This follows on from Hounsell securing individual gold in the Open Youth Kieran race earlier last week. Well, elsewhere in the Open Youth Sprint event, which was a non-championship contest, George Harold of ESV Manchester, Alistair Laurie of Abergavenny Row Club and Sam Grundy of Beeston Cycling Club won gold. Also on the podium were Kieran Cubitt, Jake Davidson and Jonathan Hardew, who finished second to bag the silver medal. In snooker, the Isle of Man men's and masters teams have come agonisingly close to silverware at the 2025 Home Internationals in Leeds. Following matches over the weekend, both teams dropped into the respective men's and masters cup competitions. The masters squad made it all the way to their cup final, only to lose out to Wales B by a 7-2 scoreline. Elsewhere, the men's team reached the last four stage of the men's cup before being beaten in a sudden death decider 5-4 against the Republic of Ireland. The Isle of Man's campaign there isn't done yet. The billiard squad will be back in action there this Thursday and Friday. And a packed list of road racing stars featuring the top 20 entries for the historic senior classic race at this year's Classic TT. Among the seeded competitors for the category are current stars of the Snaefell Mountain Course, including John McGuinness, MBE, Dean Harrison, Davy Todd, Mike Brown and Paul Jordan. Some of the most prominent Manx road racing riders such as Connor Cummins, Michael Evans, Joe Yeardsley and Dan Sale are also due to line up among the top 20. Outside the top 20 and among the other riders expected to feature are Horst Seeger, Maria Costello, MBE, Paul Cassidy, Rhys Hardesty and Andrew Farrell. Well, the 2025 Classic TT is running parallel to the 2025 Manx Grand Prix, with both events taking place between the 17th and 29th of August.
Fabulous. Thank you very much, Rob. Are you good at snooker?
No, it's an art I've not been able to master now.
What about pool? Because, but to be honest,
pool I was okay, but that is a very different discipline to snooker when you actually
snooker,
play the two of them.
You know, the first time I ever saw a snooker table, I was like, what is this? This is a conference table. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Chanel Suku. Stick around, Phil Gorn is up next with Agenda. He's followed by Chris Kinley. Time for Brass with Ian Cottier, underway from 9 o'clock. And then, of course, Dave Moore has After Hours at 10 o'clock. I'm back with you tomorrow, so until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.